a computer hacker that was facing up to 20 years in jail is free after he helped the federal government stop hundreds of cyber attacks. He taught agencies how to protect millions of dollars and cripple the hacker group Anonymous. Major General Dale Myros, U.S. Air Force retired, was Chief Information Officer for three U.S. Air Force commands and three Joint Combatant Commands, and also the first CIO of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. He's now the president of the Myros Group. Dale, is this common practice that we have these black hats turned white hats? And what does that mean for understanding the insider threat in situations like this? Thanks for being on today, Dale.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yes, it is common. And if you think about it, our government has done this over time. Back in the 30s, after the crash of the stock market and all that, the creation of the Security Exchange Commission, the people that took advantage of market manipulation, security arrangements, and insider training were the ones that created the rules for the SEC. That's how the government learned to prevent such things as the market crash. In the same way, the techniques of what attackers do and how they come at us is every bit as important to understand. Understanding how they attack by its very nature improves our ability to defend.
So the difference then that I see in the way that we respond to some of these concepts is we attach the word cyber to something and we think that it means that everything is completely new and different and the old ways that we've ever done anything similar don't apply. And yet, it seems to me the better approach would be to think, well, this is some kind of espionage. So how do we go about combating espionage? We ask people who are experts in espionage, and it happens all the time in the intelligence community.
Oh, absolutely. And in the world of espionage, the insider threat is the primary thing. Of course, as you and I have discussed several times, most of cybersecurity issues are associated with some complicit or insider threat, and they're the most damaging. Think a la Snowden, a la Manning. And so the element of espionage, whether it has cyber associated with it or not, whether it is government secrets or it's industrial espionage with corporate secrets and things like that, this is all a validation that cyber is not a separate domain from the rest of human activity and experience.
So we have a picture on federalnewsradio.com of this guy, Hector Xavier Monsiger, leaving the courthouse in New York at a sentencing hearing with his attorney and a lady going with him. Can we assume that we'll see more of this? And what's to prevent people from essentially using this as a potential tool to get off for doing things that they're, I mean, I guess, I don't know that he was really sorry for it. It sounds like he turned to the good side when he had to save his own skin.
Yes, and again, this is not uncommon with thieves who figure out how to break into banks or break security systems or other similar types of activity. And yes, I think we can expect this to continue to be something that we see, and you can't always predict the motivation, but as a part of the deal that they strike with the government, whether, you know, whatever the jurisdiction is, whether it's federal, state, or local, conditions have to be applied, which I think provide some safety checks afterwards.
So this obviously the government sees this as a net gain, that this guy helped them, and so he's not going to do 20 years. He's going to get off on time served. Is that commonly held within the cyber community, or is that a legal distinction that not everybody agrees with on the cyber side?
Well, I think there's a little element of both. There is some non disagreement on it. But if you think about it with a little bit different aspect, we have black hat conventions, we have hacker conventions, and things like that, and they are in fact attended by corporations, government, legal abiding citizens, all so that they can learn more about the things that they might be susceptible to. The idea that the good guys have all the technology and in fact control the use of technology is clearly naive. And in fact, some of the most creative uses of cyber started out with those, looking to figure out a way to either steal, spy, or hack into.
That is different, though, I think, than what I understand, at least, of the intelligence community, because if I know something that might benefit what I perceive to be my enemy, I'm going to keep that close to the vest. What is the motivation of black hats to share information with white hats that may help prevent what the black hats want to accomplish? Or is this just a different, is this where it does become a different set of rules, I guess, than what we talked about earlier about the espionage community?
Yeah, I think it does become a little bit different set of rules. But by the same token, if you think about it, in the regard in which you proffered the black hats, it's about money. I can make just as much money teaching other people how the bad guys do it rather than putting myself at risk of being a bad guy and possibly getting apprehended and prosecuted and put in jail.
Dale Myros is president of the Myros Group. So maybe are we being a little bit, no pun intended, too black and white about what we refer to these people as? Or is it maybe too simple to call them either black hats or white hats if the reality is that they're more gray?
I think that's true. Again, like you said earlier, attaching the name cyber all of a sudden changes our perceptions and says, oh, we're talking about this separate domain. When we're talking about human activity involved in espionage, stealing, crime, syndicates, disruption, political retribution, bullying, you know, all of those other kinds of things, when we put the word cyber in front of all those things I described, it changes our perception when maybe it shouldn't, because the cyber is just the mechanism, not the intention or the intended outcome.
So I look at the Monsinger case then, General, and I see that the legal community is playing this the way that they've always played it. They're just applying maybe whatever different techniques or whatever that you do in a cyber domain, but they're applying the rule of law consistently, and maybe they're a little bit ahead in that way of thinking of the cyber community as a whole. Am I off base there?
No, I don't think you are. I would agree with you. I think this is again, if you will, maybe one of the few enlightened parts of how legally and with the government deals with cyber, and that is looking at, okay, this guy was found guilty of certain things, and because he helped turn state's evidence, so to speak, because he helped the state in taking down other criminals, he got due consideration when it came to sentencing.
The story on federalnewsradio.com says the judge marveled that Monsinger, 30 of Manhattan, showed extreme care for a young cousin for whom he served as guardian, even as Monsinger was subjected to personal threats so severe the FBI relocated Monsinger and some family members. He said, I'm not the same person as 4 years ago. He was arrested in June of 2011, this story says, pled guilty 2 months later. Is this something common in the hacker community that they switch sides so quickly? I mean, 4 years is not a long period of time for somebody who did things as damaging as he did.
No, 4 years is not a long time. But again, as the public discussion morphs on the role of government, the responsibility and liability associated with the corporates, and citizen responsibility. See, oftentimes in the cyber business, we kind of gloss over this citizenry and our responsibility and how it plays out as individuals and our relationship to the law. And so, the element about due consideration for emotion, contrition, all those other kinds of things that play in to such crimes as murder, theft, and all we'll play in cyberspace if that's what's involved.
General, excellent insight as always. Thanks for helping us understand this world of black hats and white hats, and now we have gray hats to add to it. Thanks for your time today, sir.
Absolutely, Francis.
Major General Dale Myros, U.S. Air Force retired, president of the Myros Group, and former chief information officer at the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. You can hear my conversation with him and read more about the Monsinger case at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.